Back in Proverbs chapter 2, and Lord willing, I believe there will be two more messages as we look at these verses in Proverbs chapter 2. We looked, we looked last time at the search for wisdom, so to speak, to treasure, to incline our ears, to cry out, to apply wisdom to our hearts, to seek her as a treasure, as silver, and as a hidden treasure. And then verse 5 says, "You will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Verse 5 really stands as the heart of this entire chapter as we look at it, to be reminded of the two paths of life that are available to everyone today. These paths are really identified in the end of this chapter. Solomon writes in verse 18, "For her house leads down to death, and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it." Well, the path for life is only achieved through the gospel. It's interesting because we often associate the gospel with the New Testament. We think of the heralding of the good news to be brought through Jesus Christ. And that is true. The question is, what did they do in the Old Testament? Did they believe the gospel in the Old Testament? I think, and we'll see here, that the New Testament makes it very clear that they believed the gospel in the Old Testament. Abraham believed the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was not one to call on the name of Jesus Christ, as he had not come yet, but he believed by faith the good news, the promises of God. We had a wonderful conference time yesterday and enjoyed listening to Brother Ron Bowman preach the gospel. It is always, you know, we sing that song, right? The story never gets old. It is always wonderful to hear the gospel, to always hear what Christ has done for us. And the reason for that is because it is by the gospel that we are able to follow the path that leads to eternal life. And that is clearly seen and taught in Proverbs. This path to life is only found by following the gospel. Proverbs really talks about the wisdom of God, but verse 5 is very clear. To understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. This was always the gospel in the Old Testament. The awe and intimacy that the Old Testament saints found in following God, in being faithful to God. The gospel is for everyone. That's why this path to life is open to everyone. The question is, what will we choose? This gospel was open to Abraham. and is now open to all of his sons by faith, which we are if we follow the gospel that leads to life. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 3, verses 7 to 14, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture the scripture that Paul refers to is the Old Testament. By the time that Paul was writing, we think that Peter recognized the New Testament at some time later on as New Testament scriptures. They were scriptures on par with the Old Testament, but they had not been collected. They had not been put into what we know of as the New Testament before the first century was over. So when Paul is writing, he preached from the Old Testament. You remember when Peter got up on the day of Pentecost? He preached from the Old Testament. They always preached from the Old Testament. That was their scriptures that they had. And so when Paul says, the scripture, he refers to the Old Testament, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. Now, of course, that gospel is not the exact same gospel we preach today, but nonetheless, it is the gospel that leads to life, that Abraham heard and Abraham believed. In you all the nations shall be blessed. Because when we fast forward to Jesus coming in flesh, dying on the cross, being buried and raising again the third day, that is by which all the sons of Abraham may come to faith and be called the sons of Abraham. And in that, all the nations shall be blessed in Jesus Christ. So then, he says in verse 9, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But he says in verse 11, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We receive the promise the same way Abraham received the promise. We receive the gospel the same way Abraham received the gospel. The promise that is given to us, received by faith. Salvation through the gospel in the Old Testament. If you remember 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter referred to this salvation in the Old Testament. Of this salvation, he says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 to 13, the prophets have, notice these two words, inquired and searched carefully. What are the two things that we must do, we learned about in verses 1 through 5 of Proverbs chapter 2? When we are looking for treasure, we search for it, we inquire, we search carefully and diligently, because we know the treasure that is there. And the Old Testament saints, the prophets, they searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to us, Peter says to you, to those he's writing to, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Therefore, he says, gird up the loins of your mind, because you are to search for the salvation. You are to receive the salvation. You're to hold on to the salvation and walk in this path of life. Be sober and rest your hope fully on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because one day that path of life will be forever opened. when Jesus returns. This salvation, this gospel, clearly presented in the Old Testament, clearly identified in Proverbs chapter 2 as for those who search for wisdom, those who seek will find. Derek Kidner said, to know the Lord is also to know how to live. To know the Lord is also to know how to live. And so we identify one and the same, salvation and wisdom. They are free for anyone who wants it. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 15 says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no one despise you. Salvation is free. Wisdom is free to all who will search for her. But there is a demand of wisdom. Kidner says that demand, first and foremost, is conversion. It is conversion. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 4 to 6, says, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live and go in the way of understanding. The she there, she says to him, is wisdom, as read in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1. Wisdom says, turn in here. For he who lacks understanding, come eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Kidner says this anticipation, this invitation, anticipates the gospel offer. Notice the words that are used there. Come, eat, drink, forsake, live, go in the way, or walk in the way of understanding. All of these can be associated with what we know of and the New Testament as conversion. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 27, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. What is this food Jesus refers to? When Jesus told the disciples what his food and drink are, many of them departed and followed him no more. Because it's not easy. This food is costly. John chapter 6, verses 47 to 66. Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. Again, that path of life. I am, he says, the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. This food, wisdom says, come and eat of this food, this bread of life that has come down from heaven. Jesus said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said in verse 53, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. And he said, verse 60, therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? As if it shouldn't. He has only spoken of eating of his flesh and drinking of his blood. Does this offend you? He says in verse 62, what then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. If we have a hard time understanding this, Jesus explains it. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are Spirit and they are life. Jesus says, I'm not referring to my flesh and blood literally, but spiritually. You must partake of me. Come, eat, drink, forsake the old way, follow the new path that leads to life, and walk in it. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. You could even... the mind that you think of eating flesh, it profits nothing. The Spirit gives life. And the words that I speak to you are Spirit, they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by the Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. This food they were to partake of, this drink they were to partake of. You know, Paul relates to that, and we just spoke about this the other day when we had communion. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4, Paul said, all ate the same spiritual food. All drank the same spiritual drink. And what was it? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. They ate of him. They drank of him spiritually when they were in the desert. There's a call of wisdom that begins with conversion. But as Jesus said, no man can come to me unless it is granted to him by the Father. This wisdom comes from God. Verse 6 is where we are beginning our scripture reading this morning. It says, for the Lord gives wisdom. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity and every good path. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for your word this morning. We're so thankful that we can partake of your wisdom, that you have offered us your wisdom, but Lord, that it has come at such a great price for Jesus to give his body and his blood that we might have life eternal. that He has triumphed over death, that He has claimed the victory, and simply awaiting to promise it and give it to us. And Lord, we look forward to this everlasting life. And Lord, while we are here, we know that we are to walk in Your paths. Lord, we pray that You would teach us Your wisdom. As You have converted us, transformed us by the renewing of our minds through the blood of Christ, we pray that You would continually transform us and make us and mold us in His image each and every day. In His name we pray. Amen. Amen. It is the Lord who gives wisdom. These paths are open to us, and wisdom calls out to us. But wisdom also calls to the foolish. There is a path for them as well. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 13 and 18. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing. This is contrast to the beginning of chapter 9, who begins with the woman of wisdom. This woman sits at the door of her house on a seat by the highest places of the city to call to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. She calls out in verse 16, "Whoever is simple, let him turn in here." Sounds a lot like the same call, doesn't it? One of wisdom and one of foolishness. "And as for him who lacks understanding," she says to him, "stolen water is sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell." Somebody may pretend that the call is very similar. Paul said, "Listen to no other gospel than the gospel that I have preached to you, that you have heard from the beginning, that gives you life, not death." This call of the foolish woman is death. The dead are there. Conversion has always been necessary to receive wisdom. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. Derek Kidner also said that wisdom comes to us in two ways. One is by revelation. And Proverbs is very clear about this. Chapter 30, verses 5 and 6. "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. Do not add to His words, lest He rebuke you and you be found a liar." Wisdom comes to us by the revelation of God. For Adam and Eve, God spoke to them. For Noah, God spoke to him, revealing His words. For Moses, for David, for Jeremiah, for Isaiah, for Paul, for Peter. And for us, the Word of God is complete, lacking nothing, and we should never add to His revelation. It is His, it is complete, it is all that we need to follow the path of life. It is the revealed Word of God to us. And it is God alone who gives wisdom. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." You know, I've heard of people talk about the key to wisdom and the key to understanding and all of these things, and you probably find a lot of books on wisdom. If you don't go to the right place, if you don't go to the one who is the giver of all wisdom, you will fall short. You must go to Him who gives all wisdom. And why wouldn't we, when He not only gives wisdom, but He gives liberally? to all who ask without reproach. It's the irony, one of the paradoxes of the Bible that those who ask will receive, but those who think that they have everything and have no need to ask will not receive anything. That's why Jesus says, the first will be last, and the last first. The ones who are haughty and proud say, I need nothing. I've got everything I need. Those are described as the foolish in Proverbs. But the wise say, I have nothing. I need more of God, of His understanding, of His wisdom, of His knowledge, His discernment. Therefore, we were told, if you seek her as silver, if you cry out for discernment, if you cry out for as a hidden treasure, lift up your voice for understanding, incline your ear, apply your heart. If you do this, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. God is the giver of all wisdom, and wisdom comes by revelation. But wisdom also comes by discipleship. This is really the call in the first five verses, a call to a strenuous search as for a hidden treasure, which is, in actuality, a search for God Himself, verse 5. The awe and intimacy of God that we might find. Search for Him while He is near. Call upon Him. Don't wait. Search for God. The wisdom of God's Word comes to us by revelation and discipleship. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 17, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. What is the Scriptures? The revealed Word of God, the revelation of God given to Timothy, given to us, that we might know Him, to be wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for discipleship, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All of these things we learn, we grow, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding, and it is by His revelation that we are to seek for it through discipleship as we learn more about Him and grow closer to Him. God also stores up and shields. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. Wisdom and salvation, though free, are also costly. Kenner says it is not scattered, but stored up for the upright, for the men of integrity, for saints. Joseph Parker said, they are truly rich who trust in God, for their reserves are infinite, and the riches of Christ are inexhaustible. This is what Paul said in Colossians 1:26-28. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations. It was there, it was just hidden, but now has been revealed to His saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What is this riches? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. What is the purpose of attaining this wisdom of God? That we might walk worthy of His name. That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That we might be changed and walk on the path of life uprightly. Hebrews 11:24-27, by faith, Moses, again, here's the gospel, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ. He's not mentioned. If you read the passage of Scripture, Christ isn't mentioned, but he is there. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures in Egypt. For he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses walked uprightly with the Lord. He was searching for greater riches, only those riches that God provides. Ecclesiastes refers also to wisdom as a shield. In chapter 7, verse 11 to 12, wisdom is good with an inheritance and profitable to those who see the sun. For wisdom is a defense, a shield, as money is a defense. But the excellence of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to those who have it. Wisdom gives life. That's why it's better to search for wisdom than for riches and treasure of gold. Because wisdom is good with an inheritance and profitable to those who see the sun. You know who that refers to? Everybody who's alive. Everybody who sees the sun. Wisdom is profitable. Wisdom is a defense and a shield. The excellence of knowledge that wisdom gives is life. He guards the paths of justice, verse 8 says, and preserves the way of his saints. Kidner says, lovers of wisdom are saints. Do you love wisdom? He says there's a word here that could be defined as loyal sons of the covenant. I like that. Loyal sons of the covenant. We must be converted, but we must also be devoted. Devotion is a key to wisdom. Wisdom is not for the man wise in his own eyes, Kidner says. He thinks he has arrived, and indeed he has, for he will never get a step further. His trouble is not intellectual. He is no fool. There is more hope of a fool than of him. If we are not devoted to going further, if we are not devoted to searching for that treasure, that wisdom, if we say we have arrived, as Proverbs 26:12 says, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. At least for a fool, he doesn't know. But for a man who says, I know all, he is wise in his own eyes. Many of the Jews and Pharisees that Jesus would speak to in his day would be wise in their own eyes. Many today are wise in our own eyes. Proverbs 3, verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, because in fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and depart from evil. Kidner says, it is that he does not seriously want to be a better person. The ones who are wise in their own eyes. Whereas the wise man is teachable to the very end. That's difficult sometimes. But in order to be wise and be devoted to wisdom and to be devoted to God, we must always be willing to be taught. Because we must always be willing to say, I don't know everything. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 9, give instruction to a wise man and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. That must always be our desire. That must always be our devotion. The wise man is open to God's commands, Kinder says, Proverbs 10, 8, and 9. The wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. He who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. That's why God is a shield. Wisdom shields us, protects us in the paths of life. But you know, when we make mistakes, we must also be open to chastening. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. The wise man is not only open to God's rebuke, but to human advice and even criticism. If there is ever somebody in position of authority not open to criticism, it's a red flag. They are wise in their own eyes. They have gone so far. They have attained, because they will not go a step further beyond the wisdom that they've already achieved. And it's a very good chance you will not learn anything from them, because they've gone as far as they can go. The wise man is open to even human advice and criticism. It's interesting. You don't really hear a lot of criticism amongst preachers very often. I got to hear a number of well-known preachers kind of do a question and answer amongst themselves. And it was very interesting, because they were asking one another about how their sermon techniques and what they do to better their message and to better their delivery and to do different things. And they were going back and forth. They were kind of criticizing each other a little bit. And they said they receive criticism, but they do so only to make themselves better, to get further along, to learn more. We must always be open to this. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10 says, "By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom." And chapter 17, verse 10, "Rebuke is more effective for a wise man than 100 blows on a fool." Do you ever talk to somebody and you just think, why isn't it getting through? Why do I say the same thing over and over and over again, and it just doesn't seem to penetrate? Do you ever think you've said it 100 times and it doesn't seem to go anywhere? The wise man also values truth enough to pay the price of having it. Proverbs 23:23 says, "Buy the truth. Do not sell it. Also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Buy it all. Buy everything that you can." It's like a field where there's a treasure, and you bury the treasure. You go and you buy that field. You sell everything you have. Do you buy that? And then what? "My son, if you receive my words, you treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom, apply your heart to understanding, if you cry out for discernment, you lift up your voice for understanding, you seek her as silver, search her as for hidden treasure, and you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, and that awe and that intimacy will be there. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path." You'll be set. You will be fully prepared to live in this world. And the practical application of this, how do we now live, is coming in the next verses that we'll read, verse 10 down to verse 22. When you approach somebody, a wicked man, how do you live with them? What do you do? What choices do you make? What paths do you take? God gives wisdom so that you will understand righteousness, justice, equity, and every good path. Because amongst these two paths that we have to choose, wisdom and foolishness, life and death, there seems to always be a beautiful fork in the road. And you know, sometimes the thorny road, it kind of looks like not very pleasant. You know what? I'll take the easy road. And sometimes that's not the good path, no matter how beautiful it looks. Sometimes, as verse 18 says, it leads down to death and her paths to the dead. How do we know? How will we know what choice to make? I mean, it's so vital today, isn't it? How do we know what to do? How do we know what righteousness is? How do we know what equity is? I mean, there's such a discrepancy, there's such a misunderstanding about what equality is today. We just don't define it the same way. But the Bible defines it. God has defined it. He has revealed to us. If we want to learn, we can follow Him. We must be converted and we must be devoted to His path of life, to His wisdom. James chapter 3, verses 10 to 18 says, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic even. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Do you want to know what peace is? Righteousness, equity, justice, every good path. You must know God. You must be converted. And once you're converted, don't stop. Don't say, I've gone as far as I need to go and I got everything under control. Don't stop. Keep going. There's always more to learn. And as long as we are open to the Word of God and His revelation, He will teach us. You want wisdom? Just ask God for it. Someone has said that until it has become a pleasure, it is not a possession. Do you find pleasure in wisdom? You know, isn't it so good when something goes right? You feel so good about it. When you've accomplished something in your life, well, gee, we're getting ready to graduate, right? A lot of people are graduating this time of year. And just to walk across that stage and know I've done it. I have worked hard. So many by the grace of God, certainly, but don't count out the work that you've put into things and the accomplishment that you can feel from that. Charles Bridges said that only is sound wisdom that guides our feet into every good path, that makes the man of God perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The wisdom or grace that saves the soul sanctifies the heart and life. That we would grow by that same grace. That grace that converted us is the same grace that sanctifies and makes the upright to walk uprightly. As Peter said, I always love going back to Peter because we just came from him. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 and 11, "But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To Him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for Your wisdom. We're so thankful for Your truth. We're so thankful for Your understanding, discernment. Because Lord, we've tried it on our own. We've realized where that gets us. And Lord, there are so many who today are just plugging away in defeat without purpose in their lives. They're on that path of destruction, Lord. And Lord, it breaks our hearts as we know it breaks Yours. We pray that You would draw them through Your wisdom, through Your mercy, through Your grace, to the foot of the cross where they might be converted, place their faith in Jesus Christ, and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Lord, that we would all ask for wisdom this morning to know what is Your right way, Your true way, the righteousness, justice, equity in every good path, that we would understand. Lord, we pray that You would continually teach us, that we would never get to a point where we have attained, but knowing that we need to go farther and farther and farther. In Jesus' name we pray.